All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. We just ask your blessing on this time together. Fill us with your spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, to do your will, to know it, Father, and to follow it. Again, we thank you for all that you do for us. Help us be faithful again. In Jesus' name, amen. Cut that. All right, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 13. Therefore, verse 31, therefore when he had gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. Verse 34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. I want to just kind of begin right there. By this, all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. I want to have that as the focus of what we're going to talk about this morning, that you have love one for another. The questions that the boys were asked about the church, who are we and what are we trying to do? I think one thing, we're trying to have the spirit of the early church. You know, we can have a denomination. You can always trace a denomination to a time it started. Some leader began the church, and so they named it after him, or the group sustained itself over something that he taught. We can all go back to someone. And our goal and our desire is just to be disciples of Jesus. And we have the examples, a lot of writing of early church. That's why we talk about early church truth. That's one of our website names, that things that were taught in the early church. And it can be that we can teach all those things that the early church taught and still not have the spirit of the early church. It's not that we're just trying to pattern ourselves after that. We want to be in fellowship with what they were in fellowship with, and therefore we can be what they are. Not just because we have all the right words or have all the same thoughts or same ideas or practicing the same thing exactly the same way. But we have communion one with another and with them and with Christ, because our communion is with the Father and with His Son. And that's our goal, so that we respect the early church. In fact, people have a lot of respect for the Bible, which is a good thing. But the only reason we have a Bible is because the people in the early church, the very first saints, wrote down what they heard from Jesus, or heard from those that heard from Jesus. And then a couple hundred years later, when they began to compile all the writings that were floating around all over the world, it was those people that put together what we call the New Testament. They were guided by the Father, but they were just simply taking writings that men had written down, and they decided which ones should be in the Bible. And so they compiled all these different letters that were written and accounts of Jesus' lives and put them together. So the early church is important in even having a Bible. Some people hold the Bible up. This is the Bible, every word of it. And they just completely disregard the people that actually gave them that Bible. Some people hold the Bible and say they believe every word of it, but they completely disregard what it's saying. Some people say we believe the Bible, every word of it, and they do the letter of what it's saying and disregard the spirit that's behind it. There's all kinds of traps, all kinds of areas that we can fall into and be right, and everybody else is wrong. There's all kinds of areas that we learn something that others haven't, or we learn something different than what we were taught, and we become an expert, and we are right, and others are wrong. That's not the spirit that the Bible portrays that we should have. Jesus said, "They will know that you are my disciples because you love one another." It's so easy for us to think that we're disciples because we found truth, and we're going to maintain that truth and hold on to it. We don't care what anybody else thinks. We're going to just plow through because we have truth. And we're going to stand for truth. And we're going to destroy anything that doesn't stand for our truth. But that's not loving one another. We have so many different ideas of what we think is just the right way. And we become so certain that we are right, and we begin to disregard anybody who would disagree with us. That's where denominations come from. Is whenever we find a truth, we write it all down, then we begin to program it into our children. And if that's not enough, we begin to program it into their schools. Then we have a seminary where we program it into our preachers, and we think the same thing all the way through, everyone believing the same thing. Not because they've come to that truth and like themselves, it's because that's what they've been taught all their lives. And so then we're true to our denomination. We're true to what we've been taught all of our lives, and we disregard anyone who does not have the same set of beliefs that we do. That's where we get all these different denominations and all these different groups. One of the things we've talked about recently, even, that the early church was astounding to me. I grew up in a church, and I appreciate what I did learn and what I knew, But as I begin to see what the Bible said and untangle this web that we're living in, that the world is entrapped in, called Christianity, without following Jesus, and I begin to see some of the things that what Jesus wanted and how it disagreed with my denomination and what I'd been just taught all my life. And my reaction, which is probably the way most of us do, is to be against anything that was not with what I just now learned. To have to fight and stand against what I just now learned. If someone else would have learned what I just learned 2 weeks before I learned it, I would have been against them, and they of me and me. Whenever the light comes on, we just go through life taking these giant leaps. The light comes on and now everything this way is wrong and everything this way is right. Until the light comes on again. And then the line moves. Both sides. Until the light comes on again. Then the line moves on both sides. I think that is the reason why when I read or heard in the early church that one of the most notorious things about them was how undogmatic they were. That just went against me, my religion. I had found truth. I had found light. I had found what I thought was right. And I was going to be dogmatic about it because I didn't want to lose it. And I wanted to make everyone else know that I had found something. And so I became strong against what I formerly was, formerly thought, and now I've got it. And that's fine until the next thing that you learn and you've got to do the very same thing again. That is not walking in the light the way it's supposed to do. That's hard to do. Having the Spirit of Jesus in all of this. Having the Spirit of loving one another. Because most of the time it's more about me just learning truth. Making sure everyone knows that I'm right. Making sure everyone knows that I have found something. And making sure that you know that if you haven't found it, you're wrong. That is not what Jesus came to do. He came to give us light so that we could walk in it. So that we would learn that yesterday I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing and now I do. And so I should remember where I was yesterday and where others who haven't come to that decision are still. And be as patient and merciful to them as God was to me. That's where the light is. Remembering who we still are in all of this. Remembering what I still am in all of this. The Bible, Jesus talks about it to Peter. He's bold that he wasn't going to deny the Lord, and the Lord said, I'll pray that the devil wants you to sift you like wheat. But that didn't even humble Peter at that time. Jesus is praying, talking to Peter and saying, don't be so proud. The devil would love to sift you. The devil is begging so that he can sift you like wheat. What have we got to be proud of? We learn something and all of a sudden we're right. And we change things here and there. We change our positions sometimes. And the attitude is still, I'm right. That's where we're wrong. We would be better off not even learning some new things if that's our attitude. That is the attitude that the people who, when they were talking to Jesus, were so right that they were willing to conspire amongst themselves of how they were going to kill him. We think they're just all fiends and evil, evil, evil people. Black hats and just waiting and scheming. But no, they weren't. They were just men who were so proud of the fact that they had learned something and were so unwilling for someone to try to teach them something new that they would have him put to death. They were men. The Pharisees and the scribes were men just as much as you're a man. You know, we put the focus on how Jesus was a man, living this life as God intended for a man to live. Sometimes where we exalt him to some super, super spiritual being that he just lived on this earth, just floating above everything. But he wasn't. He was just a man making the choices, making the desire of his life to do the will of the Father. And on the same hand, we make out these Pharisees to be some kind of devils. Some kind of just super evil people. But they were men too. Just like you and I. They learned what they learned. And they exalted themselves to the place that no one could disagree with them, or they were wrong. One of the things that I've learned to detest is arrogance. People that are just so dead sure they're right that they have the arrogance just to make sure everybody knows they're right and condemn everybody who disagrees with them. Jesus said, the world will know you because you love one another, not because you've set yourself up as some high pinnacle of truth and knowledge. Way above everyone else. It's a difficult path. It's a path that is wrought with questions, doubts, fears, dismays. And one of the most dangerous things on this path is to be sure that you are absolutely right. That's not faith. Faith is not holding on to your decrees or your doctrines or your faith and never wavering from what you've been taught or what you believe. That's not faith. Faith is a living thing in tune with the living Spirit of God, in tune with the living Christ. Trusting Him, obeying Him, following Him wherever He would lead. It's so easy for us to get, I don't even really like the word, but overbalanced. One way or the other. We learn something new, and then all of a sudden, what we didn't know 2 years ago or a year ago or 6 months ago or a month ago is all just old, and now we're on to something new, and now we just leave all that behind. We can so easily get overbalanced that we just want to throw away all the old and just cling to all the new. And the phrase, we throw out the baby with the bathwater. Our focus is to keep our will surrendered to the Lord's will. We're coming on this season, Christmas season. It's so easy to put Jesus back in a manger and not be doing the will of God. Just like at Easter time or resurrection time. So easy to see him on a cross, all resurrected doctrines, and not be doing the will of God. And we can lose ourselves in these things. Jesus' focus was to do the will of the Father. There's a lot of hype about all of this stuff. But our focus is to do the will of the Father. We can get overbalanced. We can get caught up in one thing or another. But the purpose that God has for us is to do the will of the Father. And loving each other. Some people can do one thing. Others can't. Some people can't do something that others can. Some people can do a lot of things that you can't. Just the same way there's things that you can do that others can't. That's one of the big differences here. Most people have to put a rule to where everybody can meet in the middle because they disagree. But when you love each other, you can accept the differences. Even though you may not agree with them. You don't try to put them on other people when you know they don't agree. To love one another is what's important, as we are earnestly trying to do the will of the Lord. Jesus said, my will is to do the will of him who sent me. Make sure that is the focus of everything that we do. Anyone have anything you want to add to that? Comment or question?
thinking about Jesus is still a man, even the verse in the Bible where you think about it, his disciples said, even what man is even at the sea and the wind obey him, meaning that they still look at him as a man.
Mm-hmm. Thank the Lord.
God and worship, God and Whoa! Yeah.